There's always one at these trade shows. There's always one watch from one brand that steals the show. Of course, I've worked with IWC for many, many years, but I do believe that IWC might potentially steal the show this year.
Hello and welcome, my dear listeners. This is Paul, and today I'm speaking with a familiar face. You may recognize from series like IWC How To, IWC Heritage, and he was one of the first guests on this podcast, and he has joined me again to provide an update on recent events, give us a sneak peek of an upcoming Watches and Wonders miniseries of this podcast, and he's going to be hosting it. Partners in Time Goes Watches and Wonders, I'm more than pleased to welcome Justin Hast, a true expert when it comes to watches and producing all kinds of media, video, photo, podcast, you name it, he does it. Welcome to this episode of IWC Partners in Time. Hey, Justin.
Paul.
You're back. It's a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. You're the first person who I'm speaking to twice and very honored to have you. You're a pioneer in our little IWC podcast bubble. Great to hear you, my friend.
Can I be honest with you, Paul? I didn't think I would get the call up. I really didn't think. After how many years ago was it we last spoke? I actually thought people had heard that podcast and then stopped speaking to me. I thought things had gone cold. Emails hadn't been responded to. It's great to be back
but
here with you,
me.
Though. No, not from you, not from you.
I'm still following you and I'm enjoying all of your content because sometimes, you know, like, I have another podcast in German, so like it's always interesting to talk to people and then you follow those people because you talk to them, but sometimes, you know, I can't follow every contact that I make, sort of, or the algorithm kind of flushes it out if I'm not interested, but you're on top of it. Like, I know everything you did last week, which is because of your content, so like I feel like we're very close friends because I know everything you did and over there. Are you what? I'm seeing you. You started the conversation like right now. The listeners can only hear and listen to us, but we have the visual of that camera. And I have a visual. You can talk about it in a second, but you also have a visual. What are you wearing there? What kind of a watch is on your wrist? I'm seeing that, and I'm a little bit. I envy that watch. It looks amazing, to be honest.
This is my pride and joy. And by the way, just to say thanks for following. I do appreciate it. But I got to say, your setup, your lifestyle, what you get up to does inspire, and actually there aren't many that I sort of look at and I think, God, that's the life I want. But anyway, Paul, well done. No, it's a joy to be back with you. The watch I've got on the wrist today is honestly my pride and joy. I think we said this last time, but watches are a little bit like relationships. You've got to test them for a little bit before you know where you stand, and you've got to have some time with them. And this watch, 3705 Flieger, the original 1994 Flieger, it's, you know, it's 39 mil. It's the original ceramic pilot's watch. I think the first time I saw it was a couple of years ago with David Seifer, the museum curator, where we actually did a video on it for YouTube, for IWC's YouTube. And it just wore so beautifully. Plus, I love the story. Mr. Gunter Blumlein had one, which I followed very closely a couple of years back. So all in all, just to me, absolute perfection. But that said, I do have another watch on the table because you can't just be wearing a single watch. If you're not double wristing, you've got to have another one. So I've got a classic Portuguese on the table, which is also, and in truth, my sort of joint first love, because actually this was the watch that got me into IWC in the first place. What have you got on the wrist there, Paul?
Very nice. I'm telling you next week because as of now, I took it off because I took an ice bath five minutes ago and it's still sitting next to the ice bath. So I just thought of it, asking you that question, and my heart races because I have a history of losing watches, and I also have a history of, if it's a leather strap, I'm trying not to make it wet. So like before the ice bath, because you're supposed to put the hands in as well, I took it off and I didn't take it on. Like, I didn't. It's still sitting there.
Why is this podcast taking place without you in the ice bath? I thought that was the deal that we had, was you're going to do this one in the ice bath.
I don't know if you ever properly ice baths. Like, there's a show. It's kind of nice. You can't talk. I can't. Like, it's so taking away all of my already limited brain capacity that I can't have a serious conversation while in the ice bath. And it's only 3 minutes. That would be a very, very short podcast. But I'm a strong believer in ice bathing, and it's really, really making my day, at least, if I do an ice bath, because it changes the whole body feeling and it's the strongest weapon in fighting jet lag, to be fair, because like jet lag is one of the main things, is the high pressure. If you fly from Europe to LA, where I live, it's like 10 hours, 11 hours of flights. So if you do ice bath after that, the blood circulation is going, and it's a game changer. Honestly, like after flights, I do it.
Without going into too much detail, what is your setup? What's your ice bath setup? Is it an old bin, or is it a bath itself at home with a ton of ice?
It's a real product. So it's the IWC of ice baths. So it's an up and running concept. It's not a self-made kind of, like, it's a high-end product. It's like an inverted jacuzzi at the end. Like, it has a pump, it has a filter system, it's constantly running, and it's cooling constantly. So the water, and it's only water. It's a little bit of ice if you add to it, but then it stays for like 3, 4, 5 days. But the water is like 3 to 4 degrees Celsius. So it's just over freezing. And water is even harder than air. Like, it's because there's so much skin contact. Like, it's really, really, really a mind kind of thing. And you have to go in there and make your mind right. So I was wearing a Mojave Big Pilot, which is still my favorite watch. Mm-hmm. Once you're... And you know, one part, because we're here between you and me, I moved to LA because of two reasons, I would say. I'm kidding now. It's not really the reasons, mainly because of my family and because we wanted to live in an English-speaking, nice, sunny surrounding. I really like the American can-do mentality, and that's why we moved. But also, I moved because I don't want to wear shoes nor long pants. So I'm only wearing shorts and Birkenstocks for 6 years now, except in F1. I'm not allowed to use open shoes in
on the pit lane
when I was. and I'm also like, the tanning game is strong over here. So I'm very proud of my tan. And the Mojave Big Pilot, because it's like beige kind of, if you're tanned, if
can't
your
beat
tan
it.
Game is strong,
can't
it's
beat it.
The best watch you can wear, because you need, your skin needs to be a little darker than the tone of Mojave, and then you're on there and you're getting so many compliments of oh, you're so tanned, oh, you must spend a lot of life outside in the sun. So that's why I'm wearing it a lot.
You're an expert. You can tell you're an expert, but no one at home can, because what I'm seeing is, I'm seeing you also wearing your white t-shirt. Now, anyone who knows the tan game knows that it can only work with a white t-shirt, and I can only salute you. And to put the cherry on the cake, you've also got the moustache going on, which I happen to love. So you can see more of the face, you can see more of the tan, the white t-shirt, and the Mojave Big Pilot to cap it off. It doesn't get better. But do you know what? Funny enough, the only other place in the world, and I totally love the reasons you moved, and I would love to do that myself actually as well, but the only other place in the world that I know that everyone wears Birkenstocks the year round, but the weather's not the same as California, is Copenhagen. The only place I've ever seen in my life is Copenhagen,
right,
where everybody wears Birkenstocks. In fact, I tried to buy a pair of Birkenstocks in Copenhagen once. They'd sold out. Sold out. It's like most watch retailers over the last years. Nothing to sell.
It is incredible. You got to stand in line for the next drop, probably, in Copenhagen. It's strong, that game over there. I have a couple of questions. That's why we record over here. There's a project, there's stuff, but you do work with IWC now, and I've seen you in stories, I've seen you around. What changed? What kind of contract did you sign, and what are you doing? I don't want to know all the details, but what's the story behind it? And then I want to watch, like, then I kind of want to do a relay over here too. I don't know if anybody told you yet, but you're going to Watches and Wonders, and I would love you to take over this audience, the podcast audience, that are strong listeners and are very interested in the launches of Watches and Wonders of the IWC family. So if you could do a little bit, I don't know if you remember, I did a small kind of online marketing rock stars episode in German, so you can stay with the English language, but I want to give you the podcast relay logins and you can take it over and maybe give it back to us or not. Maybe it's so successful that we're not getting it bad and Chris and I we're off. But what are you doing with IWC? What's happening? What chain?
God, Paul, it's like taking the baton for the last leg of the Olympics, the 4x100 meters.
It is.
And now I'm pumping the legs. We're leading. And now I'm worried that I'm going to suddenly cramp up and I'm in trouble. No. I'm honestly honored to be taking the baton on for this. You know, I would probably consider it to be the sort of watch geeky time, the most geeky time of the year in the watch world. Of course, we're at the start of March now. We're coming to Watches and Wonders. I mean, everyone is there. It's an incredible event, really, because for years there's been a number of different shows going on in the watch world, but we've now got to a point where everybody is happy and excited to be together under one roof. And, you know, IWC, I believe, having seen what I've seen, I've had a few teasers, I think they're going to... There's always one thing, Paul. There's always one at these trade shows. There's always one watch from one brand that steals the show. And I have to confess, and I, of course I've worked with IWC for many, many years. But I'm slightly biased, but not very biased, not entirely biased, but I do believe that IWC might potentially steal the show this year. But just to go back, track back a little bit on my past story. So,
but I want to interrupt you here. Are you talking about the, and there we beep?
It's amazing. You seen it?
Yeah. It's insane. It's incredible.
It's going to tear the house down. It's going to tear the house down.
Yeah.
It's going to tear the house down. And it's perfectly packed. So yeah, no, Paul, it's going to be such a great time. And so just to go back, just to give you a quick brief on my background with IWC, I had I was that kid on holiday when you're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old who just wanted to buy a watch at the market when you're on holiday. And whatever it was, I cherished it for the whole time I was on holiday. And then an uncle figure, and kind of an uncle of mine when I was 15, 16, 17, used to wear a Portuguesa, used to wear a chronograph. And he was my sort of hero. He was my idol. He was my style guru. You know, he taught me so much. And I can vividly remember at dinner table once another friend's father saying, "That is a wonderfully elegant watch." And from that moment on, I was sort of hooked on IWC. And I actually had to look back, to be honest with you, because I know I knew that you would ask just about the only thing I knew of the chat today was that you were going to ask me about, you know, when I first did anything with IWC. And I had to look back. And IWC opened in 2015, the boutique here on New Bond Street in London. And that was the first time I interacted with the team. I was literally this guy that they couldn't work out whether they wanted to kick him out or give him a sleeping bag to kind of push him out the front door. Because I was hanging around like a bad smell, and I was with my camera, you know, much like you, I was hanging around with my camera, and I wanted to be close to the watches. I wanted to be close to the brand. I wanted to learn about the history of the brand, and I wanted to take photos of the watches, because at the time, 2015, it was kind of before, I don't know, was Instagram around? Yeah, I think it was around, but it was very early on. It was very early on. And I could just sense how watches were moving. It was becoming more community focused. We were moving away from the forums. We were sharing and getting feedback from others that we valued. So bottom line was, that was when I started, and I became very good friends with the manager there, Kieran. The team did incredibly well in that boutique. And then I met Simon, who was the UK director, then Grant more recently. And so it's just been this wonderful welcome over many years. And I then got a call actually from HQ, which I was never expecting, about 4-5 years ago now, for the first series of videos that we ever did in the boutique. We actually filmed a series of how-to videos up in the top of the London boutique. And I was touched to be asked. I had just started really working in the watch industry as an editor for one of the big magazines. And it was the best fun. We had so much fun. There was probably 15 of it. Definitely wasn't COVID secure back then, because there was about 25 of us stuffed into the top room up at the boutique there. And we were filming with 6 or 7 cameras, top camera, every camera, every mic you can imagine. And it was David Cypher and I talking about old museum pieces. It was talking about how to wind, how to clean, how to set watches. So that's my backstory with IWC. And thankfully, they haven't actually got rid of me. So I'm still here today, and I'm more passionate than ever about what they're doing.
And you're not only taking over this podcast, you're also doing other stuff with, like, mainly video, photo. I really enjoy it. It's really good stuff. How did this start? Because the last time we spoke, that wasn't around.
No. So, well, video's changed an awful lot, as you know. I think, you know, I started investing myself in trying to tell stories around watches from a high video value perspective, investing a lot of time and money in trying to tell stories. And we certainly did it together on the, IWC and I on the YouTube channel. In recent times, that's changed. So fundamentally, storytelling's become quicker, more authentic in some respects, because it's more off the cuff sort of moments which you're capturing typically on the phone. And so it's just evolved, really. And that's also happened to evolve as well with my working relationship with IWC, because for many years, in fact, I started the IWC UK account with some of the UK team, where we started shooting watches and trying to tell local stories through that account. And that account still goes on today with a very strong following. So we've just seen an evolution, really, in how we go about showcasing the emotion behind these amazing products.
Super, super nice. And now you're going to Watches and Wonders. Have you been last year there? It's in Geneva, right?
Yeah.
Have you attended?
I have attended. Do you know what? I even attended when it was called, so it's Watches and Wonders now. It was called SIHH before, and I even attended when it was
that. I was
there too, yep. And, you know, the show primarily hasn't changed a great deal in its setup. It's still very big units, very big stands, where you get to experience the brand's DNA when you go in. And, you know, IWC have mixed things up in the last few years. You know, in the past, we used to see family-specific launches, so it might have been the year of the Aqua Timer, maybe the year of the Pilot. You know, we've not seen that, actually. And I really applaud Chris for the creativity that we've seen in recent years since he's come on board, because we've seen really, actually, him, I think, Chris, I hope you're listening to this, but you've listened to what people are asking for, and you've really listened to the community, because never before have CEOs and leaders within brands been so close to the customers out there. And that's, you know, Chris, I can remember him launching a Safari Big Pilot, you know, a 5002 variant in titanium, because he put it up on his Insta, and I think he even allocated the watches through the first people that messaged him on DM. So, you know, that's cool, right? That's really cool. And this year, it's going to be, I think, okay, what I will say, and I know this is not giving away too much, the DNA, because obviously the DNA of the story behind the watch is very important. The minute you walk into the brands, boutiques, the stores, locations, the stands, you get the feel of what's to come. And this DNA of what's to come this year is so close to my heart. It's so close to my aesthetic, to my love of certain things in life. And it's just going to be, yeah, I'm super excited to see what people think. So I've recorded a few videos already with some of the IWC team that will air during Watches and Wonders. But of course, I'm excited to interview a few other guests in the coming days before the big show at the end of the month.
And you're going to tell your excitement. You're pretty excited. I love that about you, that you're so stoked about Watches and Wonders 23. Keep that energy high, please. It's very nice to listen to that. And what can we expect of those? Like, it's mini-series, so it's sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes a little longer, depending on the conversation you're going to have. What kind of guests will there be? Like, well, what are you planning on? Is Lewis Hamilton there? Is Tom Brady there? Is Giselle there? Is Eileen there? Like, who's going to attend? Do you know anything of that? Are they going to jump in front of your...
Yeah. So Lewis, Giselle, and I are going to be in an ice bath together for episode one, which is happening next week without my wife around. No. Sorry. So to be honest, but I don't want to give away a great deal. I've got three episodes coming up.
Okay.
Of course, all I can say, what I will say, is we're going to dive deep into the brand history. We're going to go geeky, right? We're going to go deep. They're going to be fairly quick, but we're going to try and go deep with lots of information around the history of the brand, the technical innovations that we've seen, and the design evolutions from the brand over the years. And we've got key decision makers, key players from within, and we've got some interesting, fascinating people who've got perspective from the industry at large. So it's a real mix. It's going to be fun. It's going to be punchy. And I hope people get a kick out of it.
You know, Justin, I'm ready. I'm like, I have a couple of more questions, but I kind of want to stop here, because like, I'm excited. I want to listen to you now. I want to skip to the next episode and listen to the first Watches and Wonders mini series by Justin. And like, that's what I'm looking forward to. So I would stop time over here and just see what you're going to bring. Like, I'm giving you the logins. Now, here's the key. Have fun with it. I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be amazing, Justin.
Thank you, man. Thanks, Paul. No, I'm truly excited. And, you know, this is the biggest time of the year. This is the moment of the year. So I have to confess, out of the guest list, just looking at it here now, I have spoken to one of them before. But actually two of them I've never spoken to. So as you know, as the host, the fun part is actually getting to meet new people and getting to learn about what gets them, I was going to say what makes them tick, but maybe that's a little bit too obvious for a watch podcast, but what gets them excited, gets them fired up in life.
Perfect. So yeah, that's it. Thank you very much for that sneak preview on the mini series, and we're going to be back to the 50th episode with Chris Granger Herr. So have fun with it. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to be enjoying your special remix at Watches and Wonders. Thanks for doing that, Justin.
Super. Thank you so much. Lovely to chat to you. Keep well.